Liverpool keep relying on late goals.
It's a good header! It's a captain's goal for Virgil van Dijk!
PSG are in full flow already.
Oh, what about that? For a solo goal from the Georgian.
And why are Wolves giving Vitor Pereira a new deal now?
And for Wolves, well, it might turn for them, it has to turn for them. But for the first time, they have lost all of their first four league games of a season.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. Welcome to Route 1. It's football, fast and no faff. It's everything you need to know in a very, very busy week of football. Let's go Route 1. All right, how are they doing this? Something's afoot here, and that foot smells bad. Last night, for the fifth time in a row, Liverpool won a game with an extremely late goal. And look, we, along with everyone else in the known world, made some reference to Fergie time after the Burnley game, but at least Sir Alex had the good manners to only pull it out every now and then, and only when it was important. That magical night in Barcelona? Fair enough. Trailing to Sheffield Wednesday, title on the line, Brian Kidd by your side, desperate to dance on the pitch? Fine. Five games in a row, though, including Burnley away. Fergie wouldn't do that. It's Everton that I'm really worried about. It's a Merseyside derby this weekend. It's their time to shine. You know the last game of football I covered for ESPN? It was the Merseyside derby at Anfield, 2017. Liverpool had, I don't know, 390 shots on target. Everton had almost none. Liverpool were 1-0 up. Then Everton scored a late penalty. Sam Allardyce laughed so hard he nearly pooped. And Jurgen Klopp flipped out in the press conference afterwards, asking a member of Everton's media team if they were proud of what they'd done. Of course they were. They're Everton. That's what Everton do. James Tarkowski last season. Wayne Clark. Remember Wayne Clark? Back in March of 1988, Liverpool were 29 games unbeaten in the league and looking to break the all-time record at Goodison Park. This is long before Wenger's Invincibles. Everton were the reigning champions, but they'd lost too many games. They were 20 points back in fourth place. They were out of both cups. Their season was over. They had nothing to play for. Clark scored, and they beat Liverpool 1-0. This is what they do. But how can they do it when Liverpool are bending the temporal rules of the universe to their own end? Neil Atkinson is from the Anfield Wrap. Neil, what the hell is going on?
You're not the only one who remembers Wayne Clark, Ian. Listen, what's interesting about Liverpool versus Atletico Madrid is Liverpool actually attack well over the course of the 90 minutes. Liverpool are more than worthy of the win. The expected goals sort of produces what you thought you saw with your eye as you were watching the game at Anfield last night. And Liverpool really did dismantle Atletico Madrid, a good side, over the course of the 90 minutes in terms of how they attacked. That's something which I think hasn't been the case. The Arsenal game was obviously one that was very frustrating in the first half, and Liverpool became the better side in the second half without quite landing the sort of blows you'd like to see. Burnley, in a couple of ways, you know, they were a stout force, but Liverpool managed to find a way in that one. Bournemouth, Liverpool play well, and it's only really that they knock off around the hour mark that lets Bournemouth back in, and we can see that Bournemouth are a good side, and Newcastle was its own unique thing. The Atletico Madrid win is actually one which has given me the most confidence moving forward for this Liverpool side. The most confidence that soon they may not need to score after the 80th minute in order to get a result. It will be very good if that could start happening soon, and Saturday's a perfect time for it. Listen, the Blues are a chipper, rightly so. They're having a really good time at the moment. The three behind the one that they've got in Grealish, Dewsbury Hall and in Dai, to me they're all lovely footballers, really, really good players with quite a different skill set, and they've shown that they can all link up together so far this season, and they're well supported behind them as well, and you will have a centre forward who will look to batter Liverpool's centre backs to create room for them to play. So it should be a good game, the Merseyside derby, but that, if anything, makes me feel as though Liverpool should be able to find a way through. This is not an Everton side currently built to turn it into a 90-minute scrap and keep the back door shut firmly on Liverpool. They need to come and play a little bit of football, and if they do that, then I'm optimistic Liverpool can pick them off. Listen, it's a derby, anything can happen, and that also includes another Liverpool late winner, but let it include an Everton late winner as well. It should be a very, very good game indeed. What I would be concerned about if I was the rest of the Premier League is that Liverpool against Atletico Madrid looked as though they might just be beginning to pair.
Check out the Anfield Wrap for all your Liverpool content. There's a link in the episode description. Elsewhere in the Champions League, PSG started the clock on Ivan Juric's next sacking by battering Atalanta 4-0. Kvaratskhelia Kvaratskhelia's mazy run and brutal finish, the pick of the action there. Bayern Munich versus Chelsea turned out to be surprisingly enjoyable for Thomas Tuchel, considering it was a contest between two clubs that have both recently sacked him. Not only did England captain Harry Kane score his 10th and 11th goals of the season, it's still September, but Cole Palmer looked like himself again with a stunning breakaway goal. Bayern, however, ended up 3-1 winners to claim the lineal Janny Bowl. Paphos FC have their first Champions League point, and boy did they earn it. Down to 10 men from the 25th minute away to Olympiakos, they went full Gandalf.
You shall not pass!
And they limited the hosts to just 4 shots on target, with double that number blocked. Outstanding. After the Thuram family reunion during Saturday's Derby d'Italia, we asked, how many Thurams is too many Thurams? Well, one was more than enough for Ajax last night. Marcus scored twice in Amsterdam to give Inter a 2-0 win. And elsewhere, Slavia Prague threw away a 2-0 lead to draw 2-2 with Bodo/Glimt. Talking of throwing away 2-0 leads, Ange Postecoglou had a terrible second game in charge of Nottingham Forest as they were knocked out of the Carabao Cup by Swansea. Igor Jesus had given Forest a 2-0 lead with 2 very well-worked goals before 93rd and 97th minute strikes gave Swansea a 3-2 win. Forest have conceded 3 goals in each of their last 3 games. They need to shape up fast. The BBC is reporting that Vitor Pereira is to be offered a new contract at Wolves and a deal may be signed before the weekend, which is interesting because they play Leeds this weekend and it's already a crucial game because Wolves have lost 4 from 4 this season. Very few managers are afforded this sort of loyalty. Very few managers can lose 5 games on the spin at this level. Now, Pereira's current deal expires at the end of the season and I am one who applauds patience and stability at football clubs. But this does feel a bit of a gamble. I don't want to get Saturday out of the way and get 3 points locked in before I offered a manager something like this. I like Pereira. He connected with the club almost instantly. He's popular with the fans. And he enjoyed that 6-game winning streak last year. But then Chris, over in the writer's room, reminded me who those wins came against. Southampton, West Ham, Ipswich, Tottenham, Man United and Leicester. Now, I don't want to say that you pretty much just have to turn up to beat them last season. You didn't have to do a lot more. This is either the noblest vote of confidence I can recall in the Premier League era and a gesture that will be rewarded with a return to form, or it's just Wolves needlessly increasing Pereira's payout ahead of his inevitable November sacking. From one in-demand Portuguese manager to another, we told you yesterday of Benfica's strong interest in Jose Mourinho. Well, today, it's reported that a 2-year deal has been agreed. That gives Mourinho 3 league games to prepare for the nostalgia/vengeance double bill of Chelsea and Porto away. Great news for fans of pettiness, bitterness and egotistical hand signals from the sidelines. And finally, news that Real Madrid's Trent Alexander-Arnold could be sidelined for as long as 6 weeks with the hamstring injury that forced him out of Tuesday's win over Marseille. If that timeline's correct, Alexander-Arnold will just miss his first Clásico, but he will be back in time for his return to a hostile Anfield in the Champions League. Or to put that differently, Trent Alexander-Arnold could be sidelined for as long as 7 weeks with a hamstring injury. Looking ahead to tonight's Champions League fixtures, we've got the Bobby Robson Clásico at St James's Park as Newcastle welcome Barcelona. If Nick Valtamade has been practicing his Faustino Espria impression, this would be the perfect time to reveal it. Newcastle's other Tino Livramento will be doubtless delighted to learn that Lamine Yamal will miss the game with injury. Kevin De Bruyne will make a swift return to the Etihad as Serie A topping Napoli face Manchester City. He'll be delighted, I'm sure, to catch up with so many old friends. New teammate and United loanee Rasmus Højlund will just pray it's not a trap and he'll still be allowed to return to Naples once this is all over. Speaking of returning Danes, Kasper Holmund will be immediately reacquainted with his old stomping ground as he takes Bayer Leverkusen to Copenhagen, while Celtic conquerors Kairat Almaty get a shot at a second green and white scalp in succession as they face Sporting in Lisbon. Elsewhere, Club Bruges play Monaco and Eintracht Frankfurt have Galatasaray. That was Route 1. It was football fast, no faff, and it's here every weekday at about 3 p.m. now because producer Helena is race-tuned. If you like it, give it a follow, and if you really like it, give it a review. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your audio producer was Helena Fremantle. Your video editor was Dean Throssell. Your video producer was Sean Nicholas. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. And Lola Katz-Roberts and Sophie Manners were on website and social.